Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to KMOX Overnight America. You know, as I mentioned right before the break, Ryan Recker is out on vacation, supposedly for his five-year-old's birthday party. But, you know, I did a FaceTime live. It didn't sound like a five-year-old's birthday party to me. So we're going to have to talk to Ryan, find out where he actually was and, you know, what was he doing? Because, you know, there was somebody jumping out of a cake. That's all I saw on Facebook. That's when I turned it off. But anyway, we'll get all the details from Ryan when he comes back. So have a good time, Ryan, but don't have too good of a time, if you know what I mean. You know, Brad Young, you know, I'm an attorney here in town. You know my law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. And so I spent the day working and doing my real job, but now I get to do the fun job, which is talk to you on KMOX. 50,000 red hot watts right here in St. Louis. Glad you are with us this evening. And, you know, last night, I don't know if you heard, I want to talk about this for just a few minutes, but, you know, last night, John Hancock and Michael Kelly were filling in for Ryan last night. And, you know, when John Hancock speaks, you just never know what he's going to say.
Don't lose your gas.
Yeah, and that's important. Don't lose your gas, John. you know, actually, I got kind of a bone to pick with Hancock and Kelly, because last night I had to be in court early this morning. I had lots of cases on the docket this morning. I had to argue in front of a judge. I had to argue with attorneys who were very good, very well prepared. And last night, I'm listening to Hancock and Kelly sitting in right here, filling in for Ryan Recker. And I'm not kidding you, folks. I didn't want to turn off the radio. And so they were talking about arguing about Trump issues and arguing about political issues and arguing about the emoluments clause and arguing about these things. And I was captivated. I couldn't turn it off. So I'm up till about 1 a.m. this morning. Then I have to get up early for court. So it's been a short night, but it's worth it to be here with you this evening on KMOX. And, you know, when I think about Hancock and Kelly, you know, those guys are like the political Ted Drews of St. Louis, only without the calories. I mean, they are really, really good. They're really good for local. And it also occurs to me that, well, they're kind of like Donnie and Marie, you know, only without the sexual tension. I mean, they are on the opposite sides of each other, but they're very, very talented. So we're glad that Hancock and Kelly are not only with us in St. Louis, but with us right here on KMOX. And speaking of Hancock and Kelly, we'll be promoting this in just a moment. Johnny Rabbit's going to be calling in about 5 minutes. You know Johnny Rabbit. He's going to be calling in to talk about something that's going to be going on at the History Museum on Wednesday. And listen, folks, you listen to Johnny Rabbit. You know who he is. He's on Saturday nights. And if you don't listen to him regularly, you are missing a nostalgic walk down memory lane. Just the kind of a convergence of music and history from St. Louis. You know, Johnny Rabbit knows every store, every grocery store, every record store, all of these great nostalgic bits of trivia about St. Louis, and he wraps that into the music of that many of us grew up with. That's a little before my time. I'm not nearly as old as I look or sound, but that's a little before my time, but I still enjoy it. Listen every Saturday night. So Johnny's going to be calling us in just a few minutes to talk about this thing that's coming up at the History Museum on Wednesday. Also talking about what's on tap, one of the things, I mentioned the emoluments clause. And you know, this is something, I studied this in law school. This is something that most people had never, ever heard of until Donald Trump was elected president. If you want to look it up yourself, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's in Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution. But what's interesting is, right now, think about it. What have you heard about the Emoluments Clause? If you watch any of the mainstream media, if you listen or read any news or analysis about the Emoluments Clause, what you're told is this. You're told that under the Constitution, it is illegal for any government official to receive anything of value. So, for example, let's give it a concrete example. Over the weekend, Donald Trump tweets out that the G7 summit that's going to be coming to the United States next year, he wants to have it at his Trump golf course in Miami, Florida. Now, the sheer audacity of saying, I'm going to bring in all the world leaders so they can, you know, stay at my place, top notch. I'm sure it's a high thread count on those sheets at his place. So he's been talking about that, and everyone started screaming about, oh, it violates the Emoluments Clause. It violates the Emoluments Clause. And there's all of these, I think there's at least two, if not three, separate lawsuits that have been filed in Washington, D.C. against President Trump for violating the Emoluments Clause. But if you've got your handy-dandy pocket Constitution, okay, pull that out right now, turn over to Article 1, Section 9, and you'll see that, and this is something, folks, I'm going to promise you, you've never heard what I'm about to tell you. You've never heard this. But if you look at the Emoluments Clause, it says this: no person holding any office of profit or trust under them, and that's the key words, under them, shall, without the consent of Congress, accept of any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatsoever from any king, prince, or foreign state. That's it. But the key word there is under them. And this isn't something that's litigated very often. But if you look at what President George Washington wrote, President Thomas Jefferson wrote, and the first Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Hamilton, which, you know, who knew that guy could rap in the 1700s? Who knew? But if you look at what they wrote about the Emoluments Clause, the words under them apply to any position under the president. In other words, it was their interpretation that the Emoluments Clause did not apply to elected officials, only officials who were appointed by the elected officials. So by definition, that would not apply to the president or apply to the vice president. Now, you've never heard that interpretation before. You've never heard it. Now, I'm not saying that that's the guaranteed interpretation. I don't know. It's never been litigated. All I can tell you is that those two presidents and the Secretary of Treasury thought that's what it meant. They accepted presents knowing what the Constitution said because they were there when it was drafted. They had no problem accepting things of value because it applied to those underneath the president. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because we've got lots of bigger fish to fry, but I wanted to make sure and give you something to chew on here on a Monday evening. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk to our very own Johnny Rabbit, talking about what's going on at the History Museum on Wednesday. Don't go away. Overnight America, Brad Young, sitting in for Ryan Recker on Camo X. Welcome back to Camo X, Overnight America, Brad Young. And folks, I got to tell you, it's an honor and a pleasure to welcome to a Monday evening one of my favorite guys on the planet, Johnny Rabbit, our own Johnny Rabbit. Welcome to Camo X, Mr. Rabbit.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you, Brad, very, very, very much. It is unusual to be here on a Monday night. Saturday night's the big night, as you so nicely talked about. I'm just looking for the music for this coming Saturday night. One of the first songs I'm going to be playing is The Book of Love by the Monotones. That's probably before your time, I understand.
It is a little before my time. I had older sisters, and so my sisters had records. They had all the Beatles records and the Beach Boy records and the early records from the Rolling Stones. And so I would sneak into their room and play the records until my parents would scream at me to get out of my sister's room. So those are the records that I grew up with. But I got to tell you, Johnny, before we talk about what's going on on Wednesday, every Saturday night, and I am not making this up, this is not a shameless plug, every Saturday night in the Young household, we're listening to your show because I just love how you mix not only a discussion of the music of our time, which you know intimately well, but also your trivia and your knowledge of St. Louis, and you weave that together in a way that to me is just perfect.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you very much. Okay, now I have to know what song, because it's going to be an all-request week again this Saturday. So do you have a song off the top of your head that you say, okay, you got to play this song for me?
I will email you, because I'm going to have to think about it.
Okay, let me be honest. We'll get it on very early in the show.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to ask my wife what she wants.
Okay.
I was going to dodge that, but I'm going to ask my wife, because I will send you what she wants to hear. And then when it comes on, I can look like a champ. But
terrific.
Speaking of looking like a champ, that's something that you do on a regular basis when you do these programs at the Missouri History Museum. And coming up this Wednesday, what do you have for us?
Well, first of all, that's where I am right now, backstage in the Lee Auditorium at the History Museum. I've been here most of the day. A lot of the time today, we've been setting up a boxing ring, and we have the boxing gloves and everything for Hancock and Kelly. So we're going to put them into action when the curtain goes up. And we've also tuned the piano, and John Hancock is going to open the show starting at 10 o'clock. Doors open to the Lee Auditorium, which is the lower level of the Missouri History Museum, the Jefferson Memorial Building on Lindell. Parking in both sides of the building. The earliest door to open will be on the Forest Park side. That'll open around 9:30. Then we open the auditorium at 10, and people will hear music. And they'll say, what is this music? It's ragtime music. Not Scott Joplin. It's John Hancock, and he is a real professional. You just listen what he can do to piano.
This is him right now. This isn't stock music that we're playing. Producer Cole actually pulled up music from John Hancock. And folks, this is the kind of music you're going to hear if you show up Wednesday at 10 o'clock at the Lee Auditorium in the Missouri History Museum. So what's the actual topic of the program? I know we're going to have Hancock and Kelly there, but what's the theme for this program?
Well, basically, the theme is a history, because we're at the History Museum, a history of politics past in St. Louis, mostly St. Louis County and Missouri. And we're not going to be talking about present day. We're not going to be talking about what might happen in the future. We're going to talk about what happened in the past. I mean, even going back to the very cold December morning in 1763, when Pierre Laclede Legeste and a very small group came to this site of our city, met up with a bunch of the Indians who were a little concerned about him. But he was a great politician. He got these guys to believe in what they were doing, and they were going to work together, and they did, and became a fur trading industry. This was the big business in St. Louis, fur, and it lasted for quite a few years. As a matter of fact, they used fur instead of money for a couple of decades in St. Louis. So that's how we're going to start this. We're going to start with a lot of pictures and stories about people like Lewis and Clark, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark. Will go on to the first mayor of St. Louis. That was Dr. Carl Lane. William Carl Lane will continue on through the years talking about mayors and what they did, what happened in St. Louis. Now, it's not just going to be me doing this. I'll start off with a lot of pictures and a lot of this early history.
But you've got some guests, too, don't you, Johnny? Got some guests that are going to join you?
Oh, yeah. That will raise the screen, and lo and behold, there they'll be. Hancock will have moved off from the piano, and he and Michael Kelly will be there. And now, I don't want to give anything away that they're going to talk about. They've told me what they're going to talk about, and they've got some great historical stories, as only they can do. Then at some point in the program, they'll be joined by Tim Tucker. Now, a lot of people don't know Tim from a political standpoint. He has been a renovator, an operator, an owner of many businesses, a partner in City Museum when it opened and so on. But his grandfather was Mayor Raymond R. Tucker, who was one of the truly great mayors of St. Louis history and one of the biggest mayors, of course, in the 20th century. So he's going to talk a lot about what his grandfather did as far as politics are concerned in St. Louis. Then, coincidentally, the next mayor was Mayor Alfonso Juan A.J. Cervantes, and one of his sons, Barry Cervantes, is going to be there. And A.J. Cervantes Jr., a few years ago, put together a wonderful DVD of a history of A.J. Cervantes' life in politics, and we're going to play a portion of that, not the whole thing. Barry will talk about what his dad did. Now, Barry is not in politics in St. Louis. None of his kids got into the political business. And then I'll be back. I'll have some other pictures as well to show and other stories, taking it up to closer to our time. We'll have Harry Truman, and we'll have all the way up to Kit Bond running for governor in 1972. We might get into the 80s, but that's probably as, you know, as recent as we're going to do. And I forgot to tell you, this is free. There's no charge for this event. No,
really?
Just you don't need a reservation. You don't need to call anybody. Just show up. I'd recommend getting there like 9:45, 10 o'clock, so you can hear John Hancock play. We start the program at 10:30, and it ends precisely at noon. And we'll finish the program up with a guy named Andrew Wanko. A lot of people are getting to know Andrew. He has been very involved in exhibitions at the museum. He's got one coming up about the river, a great river, great city. And there's a new book that he just wrote. We'll show that for the first time. And a couple of other attractions, including The Sound of St. Louis. That's I've been working on that with Andrew for quite a while now. It's going to be mostly about music, but some of it will be about radio and how people listen to music and how radio played a role in the history of music in St. Louis. Now, that doesn't open until July 2021 and will run into 2023. But we'll cover all of this stuff and a heck of a lot more, but it's basically a political past is the topic of the show this Wednesday morning. I hope people can make it. You can park on either side of the museum, and if that's filled, you can park in Lindell or the parking lots right by the tennis courts in the back. Now, you're going to come, aren't you, Brad?
I am planning on being there. I looked at my calendar. I don't have to be in court that day, so I will be stopping by, and I've got it on my calendar to get there early enough to hear John play the piano because
good.
The guy is a fantastic pianist, and I want to make sure that we check that out. Now, in the minute that we have left, Johnny, one other thing that's going on at the History Museum is they have this two-part display about the Pulitzer Prize photos and then also photos from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch over the years. When
yes.
folks come to this on Wednesday, can they also go and check out those displays about Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs over the years?
Oh, sure, of course. It's wide open. It's also free. Now, that's on the main level of the building. So when you come up from the Lee Auditorium, take your time. Actually, there were so many people there today, I really couldn't believe it, that they are just attracting so many people to see these photographs. Not just the photographs, but the stories that go with them. It's a very moving experience. It really, people can get really emotional about what they're seeing at that display. I'm glad you mentioned it, because it's not going to be there that long. So this Wednesday could be a good time to see it.
I mentioned it because I was there on opening night when that exhibit opened. And I got to tell you, Johnny, you've seen it. You know, it's very moving. For me, it was a very moving experience because each photograph represents stories, many of them tragic, many of them horrific, but they all tell a story about the human spirit. And I thought it was phenomenal. I've seen it twice. I've invited my friends to go. And so when folks can come, they can not only get to see Johnny Rabbit and John Hancock and Michael Kelly, but also see the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs over the years, all at the History Museum this Wednesday, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. Johnny, thanks for calling in this evening, and we will be listening on Saturday night as well.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much, Brad.
Johnny Rabbit, our own Johnny Rabbit. Thank you, sir. When we come back, we're going to be talking to John Sloan. You know that voice. You know the name. I'll give you all the details after this break. Thanks for being with us this evening on Overnight America on KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. And I don't know if you heard the news this week. Actually, it came out last week. ESPN analyst Taylor Twellman tweeted, try saying that three times fast. Taylor Twellman tweeted. This is what he tweeted last week. Quote, "There is a strong rumor floating around in recent weeks that the NFL has offered the city of St. Louis to the Chargers franchise." Unquote. And there's been lots of news stories about it. And so in order to get the actual news, to get the real story, I was going to call somebody that knew something. But since they weren't available, I went to John Sloan. Now, you know John Sloan. You know the voice. John, welcome to KMOX.
Brad, it's an honor. Nice to talk to you.
Now, for folks, if you don't remember, John Sloan, very famous name in St. Louis. He was sports director at Channel 11 for years and years. KMOX, he was right here on these airwaves for many years, also on KXOK, KFNS. We met in law school for some reason that even to this day, John, is baffles me. You decided to go to law school, but he wisely chose it, gave it up to go do something that was far less strenuous. But John, welcome to KMOX this evening.
I am welcome, Brad. Thank you very much.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this rumor that's been going around that the NFL has offered the city of St. Louis. Now, after all of the turmoil of the Rams leaving St. Louis, including the ongoing litigation, why do you think the NFL would even consider allowing the Chargers to move here?
I don't believe actually it would happen under any circumstances. One could come up with a good conspiracy theory that the St. Louis has such a great position in its ongoing litigation against the NFL. Maybe this would be the courthouse settlement to offer the franchise to St. Louis. But somehow, even though all kinds of bizarre things happen, I just can't see it happening. There's too much bad blood there. And frankly, I think the city of St. Louis, even though if you put a gun to the head of most of the fans and say, okay, we'll take an NFL franchise, I still don't think it happened. But of course, the reality of the situation is that you would have to build a stadium one way or another. The NFL would want a new stadium here, and I don't think anybody in a position of power would put more than about $1.40 into a pot to build an NFL stadium to accommodate all those crooked millionaires.
Yeah,
crooked billionaires. I wanted to get that right.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're overestimating how much people would actually kick in. You know, I heard a saying not too long ago that Stan Kroenke is to lying like Wisconsin is to cheese. So I'm not saying that that's necessarily my opinion. I'm just saying I heard that said recently, and I won't ask you to comment on that. But you can see, though, can't you, from the perspective of the NFL, the Spanos family that owns the Chargers, they've been forced into this forced marriage with Stan Kroenke, and we all know how well that works out whenever you have to actually do business with Stan Kroenke. So is it, if the Chargers are kind of having buyer's remorse, I mean, they're playing in a stadium right now that holds 27,000 people, and they're filling it less than half capacity. Can't you see a situation where the NFL would try to scramble to come up with a plan B for the Chargers?
Well, the NFL is not going to admit any mistakes that it made. It's simply, let's face it, Los Angeles is not even a market for one football team, let alone two. The Rams will be playing in a $5 billion boondoggle stadium, and after about a year after year after the novelty wears off, it'll be about 28 people in the stands, and they'll be having to deal with that. The history of all sports shows that a stadium in and of itself is not going to draw a team. The team has to be good, but the market has to be good. And L.A. is not really a football market. The NFL they were so obsessed by putting a team in Los Angeles, no matter what laws they broke, no matter who they hurt, they didn't care. One, but then one wasn't enough. They had to do two. So they took advantage of the Spanos family and the Chargers and forced them into that stadium. And frankly, that's not going to make a big difference to the Chargers or the NFL if the Chargers are playing there in a $5 billion stadium in front of 28 people. It's just not going to make any difference. I just don't think that the Chargers are going to be an answer to anything. I think they'll end up getting put someplace else. They are not viable in Los Angeles. I don't think that anywhere else, however, would be St. Louis.
We're talking to John Sloan, former sports director years ago, Channel 11, also a sports analyst here on KMOX, on KXOK and KFNS, and has certainly been around St. Louis forever and ever, now in the PR business. Thank you for joining us this evening. A couple more questions, John.
Mm-hmm.
We just went through this MLS expansion process, and as we saw this process unfold, the only way this deal was ever accomplished, at least in my opinion, was because virtually 100% of it was privately financed. I mean, there was a bill that came up to do some public financing, never made it out of any committees, and it was only when it was privately financed did this thing go forward. So would there be any sentiment, you kind of alluded to it a few moments ago, but would there be any sentiment, do you think, for public financing in the greater St. Louis area for a new Charger stadium?
I do not believe in St. Louis you could get public stadium for public financing for a stadium for a team of Girl Scouts. It wouldn't happen. They wouldn't build anything for it. It wouldn't happen. And unless somebody, the Spanos family owns it, they didn't have deep enough pockets to build a stadium in St. Louis with themselves or with public financing, simply wouldn't happen. And I just don't think it's going to happen here. There's no sentiment for it. And unless somebody's going to step up and build that stadium. Keep in mind, the very good people that got involved in building the upcoming soccer stadium was great, but again, the amounts of money involved to build what they an outdoor stadium, no-frills outdoor stadium of 20,000, whatever it's going to be, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what it would cost to build a stadium. Wouldn't be that $5 billion boondoggle that Stan Kroenke is building, but I don't think you can build a football stadium today for less than $1 billion, and I don't see who around here is going to step up and do that.
You know, I looked this up today, John, at $5 billion, which is the projected now cost for the L.A. Rams stadium complex. At $5 billion, that exceeds the gross domestic product of 35 nations in the world. So the cost of building one stadium exceeds the GDP of 35 countries on the planet. It is going to be immense and immensely expensive. Hey, another topics, changing the topics just slightly. One of the things, John, that you and I have laughed at for years has been the XFL. And we've laughed. We've had some comments about the XFL in the past. And I want to revisit that in just a moment, but the XFL is now returning to St. Louis. I think they're called the Battle Hawks. What are your
That's
thoughts?
Correct. Yes.
What are your thoughts on the XFL in its current iteration? Do you think it's going to make it generally, and do you think specifically it's going to be popular at all in St. Louis?
Well, I'm going to say the XFL as an entity in and of itself will be as big a catastrophe this time around as it was. When it was, however many years ago, 15, 20 years ago, when they tried it again, there are a few good people involved, Oliver Luck and so forth, but it's still a Vince McMahon production. And ultimately, it is still just putting St. Louis out of the equation here. It is still just an additional minor league. And I've seen it. I don't think there's any room for it. A springtime league. They have been various iterations and, including one that just, where I worked for about 3 or 4 months last year and went over the AAI, whatever the hell it was. But anyway, that folded. I just don't see it happening. The St. Louis will be interested. It'll be good. There'll be some novelty. But ultimately, a minor league football franchise in a minor football league, I just don't see it happening. I'd love to see it happen. I may even show up for the first game, and so I can say I did it, but I don't think it's going to make it.
Now, as we talked about in years past, how do you think the XFL perhaps could have been successful in its first iteration? What do you think could Vince McMahon have done to make it successful the first time around?
Well, they should have gone all the way. The original idea is we're going to have storylines, and we're going to be uncensored, and we're going to have a variety of things you just can't see on television. But they weaned out. They didn't do it. If they had been on, say, HBO or Showtime or something where you could be uncensored and do outrageous things, that might have made it. But essentially, it was just another minor league thing that NBC took it over and was a disaster. Their greatest claim to fame was they outraged America one time when one of their Saturday night games went over way too long, and they had Jennifer Lopez hosting Saturday Night Live, and it was then a very big deal. And the amount of flack that NBC got for blowing off the Jennifer Lopez Saturday Night Live show because over a football game that went into triple overtime, basically that kind of sealed the deal. Now, they should have gone all the way, and they were on broadcast TV. Sell it to HBO and do stuff that's outrageous. That would be the only way to go. That's one of the reasons they blew it.
Well, John, I appreciate you staying up late with us this evening. John Sloan, Man About Town, you heard him here. You've seen him on Channel 11. You see him doing PR work across the area. You do a lot of work for the racetrack across the river, don't you?
Fairmount Park. I've been with them. I've been representing them for 25 years, and finally we got what we wanted. There's going to be a casino and a sports book and 100 racing dates a year, so it's going to be it's going to be a new iteration, and it's going to be spectacular. So I'm glad we all made it to that point, and that's what's going to be coming up in the very near future.
Great. John, thanks for joining us this evening. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Bradley, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, my friend. When we come back from this break, I'm going to talk a little bit. There's a couple of news things that I mentioned here, but we've got kind of a football theme this evening, and I'm going to go through with you. I spent a little bit of time today looking up the ongoing litigation that the Rams have, or rather the city of St. Louis has with the Rams I'm going to talk about some of my thoughts as an attorney, breaking down how I think this litigation is going to go forward and how I think it's ultimately going to work out. But in the meantime, what are your thoughts? Do you think the NFL should come back to St. Louis? How would you as a fan welcome the NFL if all of a sudden the Chargers come back and knock at our door asking for a stadium? What are your thoughts? Phone lines are open 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 on Overnight America on KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Camo X. Brad Young here on Overnight America. And we just finished talking with one of my absolute best friends, John Sloan. I've known him since I moved to St. Louis and went to law school. We went to law school together back in the 1980s. A great guy. I'm glad he could join us this evening on Camo X. I teased before the break because I wanted to talk about your thoughts, because you heard John and I talk about whether or not the NFL might actually come to St. Louis, back to St. Louis. After the top of the hour, I've got some clips to play, some news segments where we're going to delve into this topic a little bit in more in depth, because it is the night of Monday Night Football. And in case you missed the football game, it was an amazing game. I told you this at the top of the show, that the Patriots beat the Jets 172-0. It was an amazing game. I mean, they were scoring, okay, well, maybe not quite that much, but it felt like 172-0. It was really only 33-0. But what would you think about the NFL coming back to St. Louis? Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Ron's been holding a while. Ron from Illinois, welcome to Camo X.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for taking my call. I was a PSL owner when the Rams came to St. Louis, and when after Georgia Frontenaire passed away, everything went to heck in a handbasket. But we've been a season ticket holder for the Blues for the last 10 years. I would not give the NFL one dime of money. I wouldn't go to any games with them after how they treated with Kroenke, what he did to St. Louis and Bidwell did to St. Louis. I root for Dallas twice a year whenever they play Arizona. And I just, personally, I wouldn't give them a dime.
Well, you hold a grudge, don't you, Ron?
I do.
I know. Well, but I can understand your anger, because I share your anger. Because of, particularly with regard to how we were treated by the Rams, how we were treated by Stan Kroenke. You heard the line that I used earlier, a line that I've heard years ago, which is that Stan Kroenke is to lying like Wisconsin is to cheese. That's a saying that you would probably agree with, isn't it, Ron?
It really is. And I sincerely, I'm glad they didn't win the Super Bowl. And it just aggravates me to no end that the NFL permitted both the Bidwell to move the way he did. And the NFL has no loyalty to the towns that supported them for all the years. The only town that I've seen that the NFL has ever supported when they got royally rammed was the Cleveland team. Mm-hmm. When they left there, but when they moved from Baltimore to Indianapolis,
right.
There was no love lost there. It's a sham. It's a shame.
So you've given us your perspective, Ron, but what do you think about St. Louis area? Do you think that your views are representative of a lot of folks, or you think you're an outlier in that respect?
I genuinely believe that my views represent a great majority of the St. Louis fans. I don't think there's been enough time yet that's passed to give the NFL, if they ever wanted to come back to the St. Louis market, I just don't think there's been enough time passed. Maybe somewhere down the road, but my opinion, it would be probably at least 10 more years before anything like that would happen.
Okay. Hey, Ron, appreciate you calling in this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Chip, we're going to weigh into Chip with Chip here and see what Chip has to say. Chip, welcome to Camo X.
Hey, Brad, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Glad you're listening this evening. So what are your thoughts on this?
So here's, Brad, let's face it. I was born and raised in St. Louis, and the fact is we're never going to get a football team again. We're all complaining about Kroenke, and he did this, and the Rams treated us poorly, but we were complaining about Bidwell when he left in the middle of the night, basically like Indianapolis. He was the villain. We hated Bill Bidwell. Now we hate Stan Kroenke. Who's the next owner we're going to hate because we can't support a football team? I mean, it's really getting ridiculous. So support the Blues, support the Cardinals. We're great fans. We're the best baseball city. We're one of the best hockey cities. Forget about the NFL. It's not worth it.
Well, I share your sentiment, Chip, about forgetting about the NFL, but I do have to politely disagree with you on one thing that you said. You mentioned about us not supporting a team, and I'm assuming that you mean emotionally, because financially, we supported the Cardinals. You know, I sat up in the top deck, in the top row at Old Busch Stadium when it was freezing cold. I remember I was 10 years old, and and goose hunting was when I learned how to drink coffee, because I was freezing cold watching those football games. And I'm 10, and I'm thinking, I'm going to die right here. I'm that cold, and they're going to come and scrape me off the seat. But I was there because my dad and I went to see some football games, and the Rams were supported in St. Louis better than in many cities where they're currently playing. So I think we financially supported the Rams, but I think your point is that maybe we didn't emotionally support them. Is that a fair distinction?
Brad, I was at those games with you. Honestly, I was freezing cold. I was warm. I was hot in September, and then I was freezing cold by November. I get it. But look, the facts are the facts. We had the Cardinals leave to Arizona. We had the Rams go back to L.A. I mean, really, how many times you got to get hit in the head? Forget about it. It's the Cardinals and the Blues. And don't worry about the NFL. We're not going to support it. They don't like us. We don't like them. Forget about it.
Okay. Hey, Chip, appreciate you calling in this evening. Thanks for listening. Thank you. When we come back from this break, I'm going to break down the litigation that we've got going on right now against the NFL. I think there's more to it than what you've probably heard. And so I'm going to give you my insight as to how I think this litigation is going to go forward. But listen, phone lines are open. If you've got some additional thoughts on the NFL and whether they should come back to St. Louis, feel free to call in 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 on Overnight America on Camo X.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.